The way we see it, the Irish people bailed the Irish people out.
Rockstar Bono in full flight in front of a crowd of thousands, welcoming some of Europe's most powerful politicians to Dublin at a recent gathering of centre-right parties from across the continent. He praised as heroes Ireland's leader Enda Kenny, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and European Commission President José Manuel Barroso. And he praised the Irish people too for their continued commitment to third world aid, despite the country's worst economic crash in history.
80% of Irish people who are hurting the hardest in the middle of this financial crisis supported maintaining our aid levels, and that makes me very, very proud to be Irish.
He might have thought a speech praising the Irish people would have been a winner at home, but not everyone joined in the applause in Ireland, with criticism aired on some Irish radio shows and in newspapers. That's because of U2's decision 8 years ago to reduce its own tax payments in Ireland. Artists' royalties were tax-free in Ireland until 2006, when the government decided that wealthier artists should start paying some tax. Bono's band U2 reacted by moving its music publishing arm to the Netherlands. In Ireland, a business would generally pay 12.5% tax on music royalties. In the Netherlands, it's typically 5%. So while the Irish public have endured year after year of austerity and rising tax rates, U2 have continued to pay some of their tax overseas. Independent member of the Irish Parliament, Claire Daly, says U2's perfectly legal tax strategy raises issues for U2's frontman, Bono.
He's an incredibly wealthy man. Like, it's not that, you know, his business got into trouble or anything. He has the resources, but he chose to locate them elsewhere so he could avoid tax money, which obviously could go to boost our economy here in Ireland. I mean, he's always lauding the plight of the developing countries and so on. He could be contributing to that, but chooses not to line his own pocket. And I think it has certainly damaged his credibility amongst a layer of people.
Bono and U2 have not responded to repeated requests from the BBC to discuss their tax affairs. But last year he was tackled about the issue on the Irish television network RTE's programme The Meaning of Life. Asking the questions was the country's most prestigious interviewer, Gay Byrne.
If I don't ask you this, I would be criticised. And if I do ask you this, I would be criticised. But since you've touched on the subject now, the subject of U2's taxation arrangements, whereby people are expressing their wonder at what they call your hypocrisy, not my word, but their word, hypocrisy of haranguing us all and asking us to pay more for international aid at the same time as you shift your company overseas in order to save taxation.
Yeah, but it's very hard for Irish people to be critical about this, because the shock horror moment here is U2 behaving like a business. We live in a small rock in the North Atlantic. We would be underwater were it not for very clever people working in government and in the revenue who made tax competitiveness a central part of Irish economic life. And is the reason why we have companies like Google or Facebook, and indeed I helped bring those companies to Ireland. So it's more than churlish for Irish people to say, well, we don't want an Irish company involved in that stuff that we do want everyone else. I mean, we do pay a lot, we pay a lot of tax, but we are tax sensible, but as every business is. And I think U2's tax business is our own business. And I think it's not just to the letter of the law, it's to the spirit of the law.
Media lecturer at the Dublin Institute of Technology and former Irish Times journalist Harry Brown has written a critical book on Bono. He says, however, the criticism in Ireland of U2's tax savings masks much larger tax avoidance by big corporations.
I think that Bono and U2 have also been convenient scapegoats for the government. At the time that the artist tax exemption was lifted in 2006, the government got a lot of good press from the fact that they seemed to be removing a exemption which had largely benefited the likes of Bono, at the same time not really addressing the much, much more dramatic and costly forms of tax avoidance that are continuing to be encouraged.
A hit millions heard live around the world, on U2's 360-degree world tour, which ended in 2011, and made gross earnings of around $750 million, the biggest rock tour in history, according to Billboard magazine. Taking advantage of perfectly legal tax options is an entirely normal position for anyone to choose, says leading Irish radio news journalist Fergal Keane of the Irish National Broadcaster, RTE.
I don't think there's an accountant in the world would advise him to take all his global earnings back to Ireland, where we pay 50% tax, up to 50% tax. Nobody does that. This guy, he's only tried to do good things. He's done really good work in the third world. No matter what you think of their music, you cannot take that from him, and I don't understand the vitriol against him.
I'm on Cedarwood Road, a regular suburban street on the north side of Dublin. I can see just in front of me the house where Bono was brought up. Now, he's not lived here for quite some time, but I asked some of the people living here locally now what they thought of Bono and U2's tax arrangements.
I think people feel more aggrieved because of Bono's vocal stance on what Irish people should be doing with their taxes. The second a law was changed where some of his tax became vulnerable, they moved their operations to Holland. So I think people feel it's hypocritical.
I think they're doing no different to what anyone else would do. If they could save on their taxes, they would. I think they've been good, like, in other ways for this country. They gave the country a good image. And, like, Bono's great, like, all the charitable work he does around the world. Fine, if you're saving a few bob on his taxes, I think that's okay.